Thank you for plugging into this Family Life News podcast, streaming issues-driven, family-focused news.
Tracy Lynn, and this is our summer-long staycation destination series. Every Friday during the Noon Report, we'll spotlight a staycation destination that's not far from home and won't break the bank. This week, we're taking you to the Safe Haven Refugee Museum in Oswego, New York.
My name is Paul Lear. I'm the Historic Site Manager at Fort Ontario State Historic Site, and I'm one of the founding members of the Safe Haven Holocaust Refugee Shelter Museum.
Today's destination helps us really step back in time to World War II. Would you tell us about this special site for refugees right on the edge of Lake Ontario?
Well, Fort Ontario was the only emergency refugee shelter for victims of Nazi Holocaust in the United States in World War II. Very unique. Almost 1,000 refugees were brought here to get them out of Allied-occupied Italy. The shelter was intended to induce our allies to convince them that the United States is serious about the rescue and relief of Jews.
Today we have refugees coming to the U.S. from Ukraine and Afghanistan. So how long were the Jewish refugees here, and did they get help from the community members or the government to stay alive?
Well, the refugees, for the most part, were here for 18 and a half months. Some left early. Some of the Yugoslavs went back to Yugoslavia early in the summer of 1945. They were here for 18 and a half months, for the most part. Our government set up the shelter, but did the absolute bare minimum to maintain it. Refugees were supposed to work the shelter and staff it, and they relied on community groups, especially Jewish groups and others, like the National Refugee Service, to help subsist them, to give them all the greater amenities of life. They would do basic health care, basic emergency dental care, but it was up to the community and other groups from around the country to help the refugees.
So the shelter at the time was actually large enough to house all of those folks?
Yes, the shelter was actually an army camp. It was a special unit training post in World War II. It was built for about 2,000 men. There were about 1,000 refugees here. So they had plenty of room for everyone. And they lived in the typical army two-story dormitory buildings, one-and-a-half-story kitchen mess rooms, and some of the older brick army post buildings from the early 20th century. There was plenty of room for everyone. They're spread out over about 75 to 80 acres on the military reservation.
Okay, so it's a sprawling facility. I'm guessing that visitors can see an area that was set up kind of like their housing situation. What else can they see?
In the museum, they can see a lot of artifacts and stories and a lot of great photographs on individual refugees.
So many of them went home to Yugoslavia and Italy. Do we know anything about their descendants? Or maybe you want to share a story about one of those refugees?
Well, sure. While some of the refugees went back, the majority were allowed to stay in the United States. Over 200 had families in the United States already, and in the high 20s had relatives, sons, in the United States military. So they had a real group here that was ready for them when they arrived. But after the war, the National Refugee Service and the Jewish organizations got together, and they found homes for them, sponsor families, for those who didn't have relatives. They went all over the United States. Of course, the families, many of them still stay in touch with the museum, and we've had refugee reunions and anniversaries, and they attend all these events.
Great. I was going to ask that, if you host any special events, including gatherings for the descendants of those refugees.
The last big one was in 2019, and Donald Smart was here a few weeks ago. His father was Joseph Smart, the executive director. Don, I believe, is 95. He donated a bust of his father done by the principal refugee sculptors, Miriam Sommerberg. Don's father had gotten the bust as a gift. Of course, Joseph Smart had been the chair of the Friends of the Fort Ontario Refugees Committee, which helped to lobby to get them to be able to remain in the United States. So there's a great addition to the collection of the museum. But the refugees of Fort Ontario, pretty special. A lot of people don't realize that the shelter was the first group of refugees allowed into the United States outside the quota system. So it's considered the birthplace of American refugee policy.
Yeah, it's very interesting. And I think probably many of us have wondered, where did these policies start from? Do you think it's a place where families can come, including younger kids, and they can learn about this part of our nation's history?
It's a vital place where school groups are always coming to the museum. Fort Ontario and the shelter is the only actual Holocaust in the United States. If you go to the U.S. Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, there's an entire gallery dedicated to the refugee shelter. And in fact, the iconic exhibit in the museum in Washington is a section of the barbed wire fence that stood at Fort Ontario. The fence is iconic because it's where the Holocaust came to America, where everyday Americans first met the victims of Nazi persecution and learned their personal stories, and they became advocates for these refugees.
Yeah, it made it all real to those in the U.S. who exactly. just heard about it on the news. What are the admission fees, and where can we learn more about visiting the Safe Haven Holocaust Refugee Museum?
The admission fees are $5 for adults and $3 for seniors and students. There's a website on the safehavenmuseum.com. You can also visit Fort Ontario State Historic Site. There's also Facebook.
Great. And I just have to ask, is there a story, Paul, that you want to share? Obviously, there's nearly 1,000 refugees. Is there something that stands out?
Yes. Well, the refugee that really stood out for me was Dr. Adam Munns, a child psychiatrist. He came here when he was 16. Dr. Munns, he was one of the Boy Scouts. He just epitomized what could have happened if all these people had been allowed to live and not been murdered by the Nazis. And so one of the lessons of the shelter, it's an example of what could have been. And, of course, the monument dedicated in 1981 is dedicated to those who were here and also to those who lost their lives.
We hope you've enjoyed coming along on our staycation destination. You can hear all the podcasts online. Join us next week as we visit the Elliott Ness Museum in Cowdersport, Pennsylvania.